Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate.
Kia ora and welcome to our Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Epsom. We are a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation, and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to join me in the studio to talk about our center, our programs, or about social justice. Today, my visitor is Sister Elaine Wainwright. Sister Elaine, a warm welcome to our radio program.
Thank you very much, Beata.
Sister Elaine Wainwright is a Sister of Mercy and a member of the Institute of Sisters of Mercy, Australia and Papua New Guinea. She is Professor of Theology and Head of the School of Theology at Auckland University. Sister Elaine is a biblical scholar and specializing in the Gospels and enjoys engaging the biblical text, a community of faith and contemporary issues. Sister Elaine, in my interview with you a few months ago, you explained that you had specialized in reading the Bible ecologically. Pope Francis has dedicated his latest encyclical to ecology and environment. What do you think about this?
This is a very welcome encyclical, Beata. Very, very welcome, I think, by many people. As I spoke with you last time about an ecological reading of Scripture, that's a contextual reading, and the context is the very issues that Pope Francis is addressing in this encyclical, issues that we're all so conscious of, like climate change, weather patterns, etc., sea levels rising, the degradation of soil, fracking. We could go on and on. And it's that informs my biblical studies. And it's wonderful to have an encyclical like this, in a sense, authorizing. And I mean authorizing in a very positive way. Not that we sit back and wait for papal authorization, but there's something about the symbolic value of leadership and the Pope's authorizing of that, I think, underpins all the work on the ground, in universities, in parish groups, in all sorts of people working with all of these issues. Somehow this has caught those up and made a statement that is in fact an international statement. The Pope's an international leader, and so his voice is heard on the international scene. So there are all sorts of things that make this quite exciting, as we saw, as people waited for it.
Mm. A papal encyclical is a very special document. The word itself is related to cycle and circular, a letter or document that is circulated among Catholics and readers today almost the whole world. What is the importance of an encyclical? Is it a rule or an order for the Catholics?
The encyclical is, as you indicated, Beata, it's really a letter that is circulated amongst the audience, is the Catholic Church, but in this case, the audience is the international community as well. The Pope is addressing the international community, and so it's a letter of invocation. In the context of the Church, it's invoking the people of the Church, but it's also a document, and I guess we could say a letter as well, inviting the whole international community. And it's not a law, it's an invitation really, it's a letter. So it's a setting out of these are the issues, and this is the invitation, this is the challenge that I give you in the face of these issues. And it comes with the authority of the position of the Pope.
And as you mentioned earlier, the media had been waiting for this press conference in which the encyclical was presented. Apparently, there had been so many journalists who came to the conference that it had to be shifted to a bigger venue. Do you think that this papal encyclical, Laudatio Si, is more important than previous encyclicals?
That's interesting. I was thinking about this just recently. Certainly, I've never seen this type of excitement in relation to an encyclical. Oftentimes they come out and they're read by a few scattered people. They're quoted later by other popes, etc. But just the excitement in the world, as you say, amongst journalists, but amongst so many people, I think has been quite amazing. And I was just listening to a program recently talking about this, and the broadcaster was saying that perhaps the only other encyclical that has had such international interest was Humanae Vitae. I'm not quite sure how we measure those, you know, in terms of interest and excitement and waiting. But certainly this has been extraordinary, I think.
And for those of you who've just tuned in, you're listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Epsom. If you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk or send me an email at muffintalk840@gmail.com. My visitor today is Sister Elaine Wainwright. Sister Elaine explained why the papal encyclical is so important, and it's a very special encyclical, which is apparently the whole world is interested in it. And Sister Elaine, Pope Francis chose a papal name, as papal name, the name of Francis of Assisi. Do you think that this was the first sign that he wanted to create a new awareness for the environment?
That's a good question, Beata. At one level, I would probably say yes. At another level, I think Francis represents the historical Francis of Assisi, I think, represents a number of significant aspects, I think, that we see in Pope Francis. One of them, I think, certainly is the environment. And now we've got the actual proof of that, you know, in the words of his encyclical. I think the other thing, though, and this is an important issue in regard to this, this document. The other thing I think that Francis of Assisi represents for Pope Francis, I think, is in a sense the option for the poor, the option, of poverty, of simplicity of life, etc. And so I think that's important because my sense is that these are so intimately tied into one another. And you hear it in the encyclical, the call to change our lifestyle, to change our lifestyle in terms of the whole economic system, etc. So I think Francis of Assisi, is certainly a person, that captures some of the really important issues that Pope Francis has demonstrated. But I would want to hold on to that intimate link, I think, between lifestyle and human lifestyle and human option for simplicity of life, etc., and the relationship of that to the environment, because I think they're intimately bound up. You can read it on almost every page of the encyclical.
And the encyclical is called Laudatio Si, which means praise be to you. And it is a quote from St. Francis of Assisi's prayer, the Canticle of the Sun. I believe this is one of the most famous prayers in the world, praising God for Brother Sun, Sister Moon, Sister Mother Earth. With all the criticism against our modern society, isn't it amazing that he calls the encyclical Laudatio Si rather than giving it a warning title?
Yes, I think that's a really interesting aspect of both the beginning and the end of the encyclical. I think in both places it's challenging, but it's also very evocative. There's an evocative call, I think, to that notion of praise, to that notion of lifestyle, but of the beauty of the images, etc., that can inform that. And I think Francis of Assisi is such an excellent example of, you know, of those images and the words in the canticle. And then, as I say, some of the theologizing towards the end of the, encyclical, I think, does that as well. Beata, that might be another point for me to make a comment about one of the things that I struggle with the document, but not just with the document, with the, you know, in a sense, almost the church context and the world context as well. One of the things that is problematic, and I don't think it's just in English, I think it's indicative of a whole mindset that I think will keep getting in the way of our responding to both the ecological and other justice issues unless we address it. And that's the genderized language in the text. You know, the earth is mother, God is father. And so you have these images that are gendered and that are usually domination images as well. And they run through the encyclical. And I think that's unfortunate. And I think it's an issue that has to be addressed. It can look very trivial in the face of climate change, etc., but I don't think it is. I think it has to do with mindset, and I think the encyclical is really calling us to a change of mindset as well as a change of action, and the two are intimately connected. And I think until we address that that gendered language, I don't think we'll be able to fully address the ecological, the justice issues that, that are involved. So while I think the imagery of the canticle of the sun is quite beautiful, and I think that's an extraordinary call that, that Francis makes on us, that Pope Francis makes on us to think in terms of praise, because that's the sort of attitude that is going to help us change our ways. But I do think that language, which looks so minor in the face of these, I think it's going to be quite significant. And until we address it, we won't be able to fully address the other issues, I don't think.
Maybe he was thinking more about St. Francis' prayers, which were written in the 11th century.
Yes. Mm.
At that time, the mindset was different.
Right. Mm.
And so maybe that's why he has that connection. But thank you for that point. And I think that he also points out that humankind, and I think he doesn't say then men or women, but in general, humankind has been exploiting the nature for centuries. And sometimes people have been justifying it by saying that God wanted to submit the earth to the human beings. Has you already mentioned now with domination. Do you think that it has been a big misunderstanding?
I think one of the issues in this is the biblical text, clearly. In Genesis 1:28, after this, in a sense, beautiful canticle, like the canticle of Francis, of you know, of the earth being separated from the sky and the animals emerging, etc. I mean, it's a wonderful poem. And then that refrain, God saw all that God had done and it was good. It was very good. Then in 1:28, you have this, after the creation of the human creatures in the image and likeness of God, you have this, in a sense, command to dominate the earth, to propagate and to dominate, and I think we can look now for all sorts of ways of nuancing that, etc. But I think the text is problematic, and I think we have to say it's problematic. I think that's the work that quite a number of biblical scholars who are trying to grapple with some of the problematics in the biblical text in the light of in the light of this ecological awareness. I think we have to critique it, but I don't think that's to destroy the text. I think that says this is a text that is problematic. We see that this is problematic, and so now we'll read it not in terms of domination, but we know that the way that the human community needs to live with the entire Earth community is interrelationship rather than domination. And so we have to, in a sense, almost not set aside, but to critique that type of text. And there's others of them. I was thinking about as I was reading it, there's other texts like that. There's a text in Deuteronomy 20, I think it is, where it says, you know, when you go in to destroy a city, you know, cut down all its trees. And so there are all sorts of elements like that in the biblical text that come from another era. But as we continue to read that text, we have to learn how to read it differently. And we can do that.
Mm. And there's also always this, I think that Pope Francis points out that we have to take care of the earth. We have, if we're stewards of the earth and the nature, then we'll have to take care of it. It's not just that we can exploit as we like.
Mm. I think what we need is relationship. I think that's what comes out in the encyclical, that the human community is not to dominate. That's what we've done, and even the stewardship notion puts the human in the centre and being steward of the earth, whereas I think a shift to ecological thinking is a shift to seeing ourselves as partners with all other earth creatures, with all the rest of the earth, not domination and even not stewardship. But together we form this planet that we all share.
Don't we come back to what St. Francis of Assisi said with sister, mother, earth and brother, moon? And if we have sisters, brothers, then you are on the same level?
That's right.
So maybe Pope Francis used the pictures of Francis of Assisi to show this relationship, this family, that we are all one family.
And if that's so, Beata, then I think it needs to run through the whole language of the document so that it begins to do this shifting of consciousness, I think, that I'm talking about. That's not to deny the value of the encyclical at all, but it's just one little piece, but it's a piece that I think is very important. I think my experience tells me it's very important.
Mm. And Pope Francis received lot of criticism from politicians, especially, who complained that a religious leader should not interfere into politics. What do you think about this point?
I've thought about that a lot, because that's been one of the interesting discussions. Look, it seems to me that religion is involved in every aspect of our life. Religion is not something that belongs over there somewhere apart from where we live. All religious traditions, or most religious traditions at least, have very strong ethical elements that come with belief systems, and they also then are expressed liturgically, and all of that runs through the encyclical. And religions are social entities. Religious groups are social entities in a society, so they cannot be separated from society. And one of the interesting things, I think, in this document is that part of its strength, I think, is going to be the really well-informed engagement with issues like climate change, issues like population, which is such a critical and, it's an area around which people have very different opinions in terms of population growth. And so I think religious traditions and religious leaders are to take their place on the world scene, because they are international leaders, and so they have as much right to speak on any issues, and particularly if they're informed, and clearly this encyclical is informed by top level scientists, by top level scholars, and so I think the Pope, in fact, has an obligation, not just a right, but an obligation to speak out. And that's another exciting thing, I think, about the encyclical, in that it makes this a significant speaking into the Catholic world, but also a significant speaking into the entire world that's grappling with this issue at the moment on all sorts of levels.
Mm. I could imagine that many people are very grateful for this information, which is definitely not into any direction, political direction, because most information that we get today is from one political direction from the other, and if we don't know, we don't really know who influences it, whereas Pope Francis is not on either side. He is reading the Bible ecologically, like what you said. And so this is the result of an, let's say, neutral point of view.
That's interesting, Beata, because I think encyclicals are interesting documents because, you know, oftentimes they're citing other popes, which Francis does at the beginning, you know, cites Pope John Paul II and also Pope Benedict and what they've said, and cites this I found really interesting. This is a new thing, I think, in encyclicals. He also cites a whole lot of episcopal conferences around the world, even New Zealand.
Really?
Yes. So I think that's another interesting voice. There are clearly other voices that have influenced this. Unfortunately, you don't get those citations, so that it can appear that it comes as a neutral position, but it clearly doesn't. It's clearly informed by, as I say, the top level scientists, eco-scientists, et cetera, et cetera. I read someone saying, I think it was Paul Collins in Australia, saying that there are at least four voices in this document, and that's true. You can pick up some of the different styles as you read through.
And in his encyclical Laudatio Si, Pope Francis connects the protection of the environment to questions of social justice. You mentioned earlier about poverty, and which is one of the points where Saint Francis and Pope Francis are connected. They have the option for the poor, and How does the Pope make this connection to the questions of social justice, environment, social justice?
That's interesting, and I'm pleased with that question, because it gives me a chance to say something that I noticed about the document. It's not absolutely clear, but I think this is an interesting document in terms of, you can see in it something of the praxis model, something of the justice model of theologizing that we've learnt from Central and South America. So I suspect that Pope Francis is steeped in that and steeped in that way of thinking. So he doesn't start off with scripture and say, you know, this is scripture, and so this is what you have to, what has to happen out of that. But he starts on the ground. He starts with the issues that are the current issues. So chapter one, what is happening to our common home? And then he looks at things like pollution, climate change, water, biodiversity, etc. So he starts there. Then he brings it into dialogue with the tradition. Then he grapples with issues again, like coming round from that dialogue and saying, you know, where should there be change? Where does change need to happen? What are some of the factors that need to change? It comes up with a new vision, and then out of that, there's a new praxis. So I think he's coming out of his own context, and justice is justice, whether it's justice for the earth or justice for the human community. And I think the encyclical makes clear they cannot be separated. Some people will say we have to look at one more than the other. Again, Paul Collins in Eureka Street last week was commenting, saying, you know, the earth has to be first. I think I'd rather see us, the importance of the two always being intimately connected, because somehow I think it's not one or the other. And once you get into one more important than the other, I think you get a problem. So I think the very process out of his liberation background, the praxis model, I think, enables him to weave and hold together justice for the earth and justice for the human community, or in the human community.
Thank you very much, Sister Elaine. Before I come to our announcement for the center, I just want to have at least one quote from the encyclical, and I chose a quote in which Pope clearly blames all of humanity with no exceptions, and he finds very, very clear words for the consequences. Here's the quote. "The earth, our home, is beginning to look more and more like an immense pile of filth. In many parts of the planet, the elderly lament that once beautiful landscapes are now covered with rubbish, industrial waste and chemical products utilized in cities and agricultural areas can lead to bioaccumulation in the organisms of the local population, even when levels of toxins in those places are low. Frequently, no measures are taken until after people's health has been irreversibly affected." I think this is a very clear message, and we'll have to hope. Is that right? We'll hope that...
Yes, that we definitely will hope, and we'll work hard as well.
Yes.
To shift our own lifestyle as well as yeah. Inviting others to that.
Thank you very much, Elaine, for this interview.
Thank you very much.
And what is coming up in the center? Well, we have on Tuesday, the 14th of July, Manuel Beasley, who will bring us closer to some important parts of Maori culture when it comes to meeting with people. He will introduce us to Toko Pepeha, I Belong. Tuesday, 14th of July, from 10 a.m. to 11:30. And also, Manuel will lead on the same week, on Saturday, the 18th of July. He will lead us through a marae, the protocols of a Maori marae. And as we are in our year of roots in the Mercy Spirituality Center, we will have a series of presentations on church fathers. Father Merv Duffy will start on church on the true vine, the picture of the Catholic Church first preached to the Maori. Today, Friday, 10th of July, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And he will also give a talk on St. Augustine of Hippo on Friday, 17th of July. For all events at our center, please register with us at 09 for Auckland, 638-6238, or via our website, www.mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz. For any further questions on these events or feedback on our Muffin Talks, please send me an email at muffintalk840@gmail.com. I wish you all a blessed Friday and a good week ahead. Thank you very much, and thank you, Elaine, for coming.
Thank you very much, Beata.